Blog Talk Radio.
You thought the leaden winter would bring you down forever, but you rode upon a steamer to the violence of the sun. Laughing through your fingers, and you want to take her with you to the hard land of the winter.
Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community. That's allpoetry.com, and there you'll also find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, 10 p.m. till midnight. Mondays, come hang with our wild dove, Luyu, in Nature and Passion. Tuesday, dig into the twisted thoughts of the Twisted Sisters. Turn up the heat with the Art of Seduction on Wednesday. Thursdays are split between In Our Craft, The Song Art with Rich and Neutron, and Double Helix with Aphasian Index. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry. And Saturday is split with Gray Eyes Howling at the Moon in the Canadian Wilds as he brings you Bad Company, and Ekphrasis with Bobby and Dan. And if you're looking for a little more edgy realm, then please check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Monday through Saturday mornings. Mondays are split between Hearts of L&P with Victoria and Black Lace Diaries with Mr. M and Mistress Frost. Tuesdays, take a walk on the wild side. Fridays are split between Crawling Into Darkness with M and Break On Through. And Saturday, let Aphasiana and Babla teach you the fine art of being part sinner, part saint. Check out the contests, the prompts for all of our shows, call them to read your poems, and hang for the fun. Good evening, Phil. How you doing?
Hello, Rex. I'm doing well, and how are you?
I'm just fine, Peachy.
Well, this is Peachy. It's too early for peaches yet.
Well, yeah, a few months too early for the peach tea, literally.
Absolutely, absolutely. But you're getting there. You're getting there. Oh, Yeah, it's been a good day. How's your day been?
Not bad. Sun was out today, which is nice. Warmer weather is, I think, here to stay finally. So what I got to do now is watch out for all the bloody rain we've been getting.
Yeah, well, you know, they usually say April showers bring May flowers, but you got March showers, so you should have lots of flowers by the end of it.
Well, I've already had the first ones come out already. What the hell are they? I forget.
The snowdrops? Crocus?
No. Daffodils.
Tulips?
Daffodils? No.
Daffodils? That was my next one. Yeah, they're usually the first four things I know of. Snowdrops, crocus, daffodils, and tulips. And hyacinths.
Daffodils, definitely. Yellow and white.
Yeah, and the yellow ones. Yellow cups. Yeah, they're pretty little things. Daffodils are pretty early for them, I think, anyway. Very nice.
Well, it's typical. They usually hit in February, but it's been so damn cold and wet. They waited till March.
See that? I always think of the end of March, beginning of April for daffodils. I guess that maybe puts them on time for me, in my thoughts. Seems a little early to me, though. Usually right around Easter. So I guess it's right around Easter, so I guess it's about time. Okay, I'm going to shut up before I say I'm sillier and sillier. But, yeah, that's cool, though. Very cool. And I want to let you know I got Pam on the line, too. Hey, Pam. Welcome aboard.
Hi, Jean. Hi, Rex.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
Good to hear you both.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah,
well,
I figured I would introduce you instead of making myself sound like a fool by saying silly things. Well, kind of silly things. Yeah. So So it's another Sunday. It was a great prompt for tonight, Rex. I really, 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 really wanted to write. I must have approached it four different times, but I was so distracted by something else going on in my life. I was like, I'll never get anything down, ever, ever. Really, and it made me mad. It really did, because
it was a different prompt, and that came out on the second album, Disraeli Gears, in '67, and actually, that one was written by Clapton and a guy named Martin Sharp,
mm-hmm.
And it's the first use of the first full-time use of the wah-wah pedal during the whole song.
The wah-wah pedal?
Yeah, didn't you hear the with the guitar going, wow, 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 in the background?
Okay. I didn't know there was a wah-wah pedal.
That's using a pedal, which kind of gives it, stretches out the lines and gives it that wah-wah sound.
You got to take it easy on me. You know, I'm dumb to these things. Wah-wah pedal. Good Lord have mercy. Sorry. That's funny though. Yeah. Oh, all these tidbits. I can't stand it. Well, I can stand it. It just makes me feel silly.
Well, I've got to be useful for something.
That's right. That's right. This knowledge is important. Really. I just, Christmas. I don't know. I recognize the music. A lot of times I don't even know who sang it. It's terrible. A lot of times I don't know the title. It's just really bad. Yeah.
A lot of the radio stations, they play those 45-minute blocks, and they never tell you what the songs were that is playing.
Well, this is true. I remember those blocks of music. Yes, I do. There's a lot of truth to that. They do mention something after it's over. You're like, who? What? Which one was that? You know, whatever. Yeah, so.
Yeah, as you go back 10 songs and... Oh, crap. Did I hear that one? I'm not sure.
Right, right. Right, exactly. But, yeah, I'm just not the girl for those kind of details. I used to have friends that used to be able to quote every line in a damn movie, and I'd be like, huh?
Okay.
Oh, you remember this? And I'm like, and I go, no, I don't remember that. You know.
Well, here you go.
I do the same thing.
When this album came out, Clapton was only 22 years old. And he'd already been playing, he'd already played in the Yardbirds, from 63 to 65. He was in John Mayall's Blues Breakers, and he played with Delaney and Bonnie back then, too. So he'd already been around the block for a good 5 years beforehand when he started,
right.
when he finally hit green.
Huh. He was a mere baby back then. Mere baby. 22. Good Lord.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite the time in old London town with the music scene.
And you said something about, what, 60, did you say 67 at some point?
Yeah, yeah, this song came out in 67 on the second album, Disraeli Gears.
I was five. I was five. Five. Amazing. Yeah, I'm not five anymore. Wow. But, yeah, amazing to me. He was 22 and I was five. Thought of him as being, like, old or older or whatever. I don't know. I guess because the music was youthful in a lot of respects. I guess that's why it was, like, a mute point. Interesting. Very interesting. It is, it is, it is. At least to me.
Well, then, let's say we kick things off and read some poetry.
You betcha. I think that sounds like a good one. Now, did you have anything special pulled to read first, or are we just going to start at the top?
Oh, no. I just listed everything that I had permissions for, and then the ones I gained permission for, and there's a couple of sound cards in there. So I just pulled as I knew. So there's no proper descending order as to where you want to go.
Yeah, I know sometimes we have something to lead off, but that's fine. Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm going to have you start off, Rex, and I'm going to start you off with the first male piece. So here we go, whenever you're ready.
All right. Art in Plaster by Incubus 2. The solitude of simply one, like loving something once it's gone, like lying to one's own heart, save yourself falling apart. No amount of sticking tape could hide the cracks or mask the ache. Residual pain still leaking through. Now you've turned to super glue. But maybe time to let it break. Temporary fix, a big mistake. As hiding emotions always bad. Better face the fact you're sad. Yesterday's gone, not coming back. Time moves on a one-way track. No deviation, no turning around. No left, no right, no up or down. So get a grip and push on through. In the long run, all you can do. Take a chance, let down your guard. And let life's conductor punch your card. Heart unfairly is still beating, though it feels like you are cheating, having suffered so much at others' hands, but proving you can make a stand. Not a saint, but sure no sinner, punch drunk but still a winner, was on the ropes, but now you're moving, even your demeanor seems more smooth soothing. So tear the tape, endure the pain, as hearts will break again, again. Now bear those scars with rightful pride, as never more, to run and hide. All right, Pam, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, this is really nice. A great emotive piece. I like how it kind of it fits the tone of the song without necessarily like copying it. Like it brings us into a different atmosphere, a more modern feel. And yet kind of fits that idea of that, you know, love that can't quite be reached. I really like the second stanza with no amount of sticking tape could hide the cracks or mask the ache, residual pain still leaking through. Now you've turned to super glue. And also, heart unfairly is still beating, though it feels like you are cheating, having suffered so much at others' hands, but proven you can make a stand. There's that whole idea to me of healing after your heart has been broken. And I like the line, heart unfairly is still beating. It almost feels like, to me, that whole idea that a heart that hurts that badly shouldn't be beating. And so just a wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, I thought this was an excellent piece. I thought his points were well made and it was clever. His rhyme was, you know, as always, from what I've seen of Inky Dis, his rhyme is always spot on in his meter. And I thought it was really well done, just a great job. So nice job, Inky Dis, take on the prompt.
Actually, you guys are right, yeah. I didn't notice it at first, but he's actually gone and walked it with the thought of the original song in mind. And if you read it the way Jack Bruce presents the song itself, it works well with the music, so I didn't catch that at first. That was a damn nice touch, walking outside the lines into a different arena, but playing on the parody angle as well. And, you're right, that second stanza was a nice touch with the super glue, with the masking tape, and the fact that he better let it break in the moment, because it's... what you're going to do is prolong the agony instead of just feeding through the whole thing yourself in the moment. But that bottom, the last one, kind of hits on that notion too, with the angle of the parrot. Not a saint, but sure no winner. Punch drunk, but still a winner. Was on the ropes, but now you're moving. Even your demeanor seems to look more soothing. So bear the tape and bear the pain, as hearts will break again and again. I bear those scars with rifle cries, as never more to run and hide. I did a great job with filling this out with the thoughts of a parody in angle, but totally different from the original itself. I like that. I see Ben Inkydus. Thank you very much. All right, Gene, coming back your way.
Joke. Pam, I have the next one for you, Miss Pam. So here we go.
Okie dokie, Smokey. All right. This is an Orpheus Mirage by Cole App, and it goes like this. You saw a filiform shadow billowing in the torrid heat where the desert sands and sky meet. Toward him with all the vigor of your youth, the faster you run, the more you're sunk. But he's there waving at you, a mirage so real you feel it in your bones, that you finally reached him. This destruction, destination owned, he is there, legs akimbo, esse homo, in all his splendor, carved from driftwood, a collage of many. He is a sum of all he's. The one you've read in fairy tales, the one who fell into Orpheus plucking on his tortoise shell leer. You, the modern Eurydice, touched by his music, burst into fire, but saved by the noble emotion, he comes to put it out, only for him to vanish before the setting sun as it melts into Earth's horizon. No myths or legends can bring back to life that shadow of that one man. She'll lay there twisted and writhing in the scorching sand as she sinks one hand, raising still in the hope that she might be saved again one last time. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, what did you think about Orpheus Mirage?
That was quite the mirage, let me tell you. I think that Cole had a great job.
Yeah, dancing on that swirling heat emanating off the... off the beach or off her melting mind?
Well, a little both, I guess, maybe. You know, you got to look at it from both angles, I guess. All angles.
Talk about getting some heat stroke.
I'm not commenting on that one. But I think that, you know, she did a nice job. The imagery in it was good because it carried that warmth, you know, throughout. And the... she painted the pictures well. And I think that it was just nicely set up and clever. And, yeah, just nice job. Nice job. Wonderful write, Colette. Yep.
Thank you, Jean. All right, Pam, you got to read it. How about you?
Yeah, I really like this. I liked it with Orpheus and Eurydice. She went with the idea of a mythology in there, but it's a real one of those kind of themes that works throughout every generation of poetry and writing, that idea of love that is found and lost. But I really like that she took it deeper than just the idea of love being found and lost, like that she says, where is that? He is the sum of all he's, and no myth or legend can bring back to life that shadow of that one man. And to me, those lines in particular speak on the whole idea of how society raises young people, and, you know, especially women, I think, to think that love is going to be a fairy tale, you know, that there will be that one man that will be the sum of all perfection. From like everything you've ever wanted from every man will be gathered into one man, and that will be your Prince Charming. That will be your fairy tale, and that will be forever. And that's not necessarily the reality of life, the reality of love. And so I really felt like she took a classic element of storytelling but gave it even more depth. So I thought this was very well done.
Absolutely. Those first three stanzas hit on that notion of the mirage itself, which was pretty cool. And then she hits into Exi Homo in all this splendor. Behold the man. And she keeps that role going. He is he, a sum of all he's. The one you've read in fairy tales, the one who fell into Orpheus plucking on his tortoise shell lyre. And then the thought of this composite opposite Eurydice, touched by his music, burst of fire. So she hits on that notion of the, she rolls out the mirage with the notion to eat anyway, and then continues that heat with a bit of a sensual nature. And then the dissipation of the heat and the mirage itself as one comes to the understanding versus, yeah, your eyes are just playing tricks on you. And that's not the one that you imagined. But still, there's a little hope. Will he come again? Nicely done, Kolak. Thank you very much.
Hmm?
All right, Jane. We're back on you.
Okay, I'm going to read the next one. So there's a whole bunch of us here, but I you all have to wait your turn. I'm going first. Okay, just say. This one's called Crossing Tides by Casey Day. I lost my mind inside a conch shell, held out to me like an olive branch, but the branch snapped, shell drowned, lost in the sand that blackened the beach. Blanketed the beach. When I reached down to find it, I was swallowed whole and regurgitated into the mouth of wild, unforgiving ocean waves, wondering where my body had gone off to. Finally, I looked up. There she was on a white, sandy beach with her pretty pink conch shell. End poem.
Great read, Gene. All right, Pam, why don't you kick us off?
I have to say this is a really nice, delicate sensuality. It really fits well with the song, especially the part of the song that really focuses on, you know, seeing Aphrodite. You know, I like this all the way through, but I think it's, for me, it's the second stanza that is the strongest, so absolutely beautiful. I did like in the first stanza the offering like of an olive branch for that like offering of peace. But for me, the second stanza with I was swallowed whole and regurgitated into the mouth of wild, unforgiven ocean waves, wondering where my body had gone off to. There's such a just a real sense of losing oneself. So powerfully written and very well done.
Well said, Pam. Thank you very much. And Jean, you got to read it. How about you?
Well, this is what I wrote. I thought it was a nicely penned piece. And I thought it was a clever take on the prompt. And I'm with Pam, stanza two for sure. Great job. That's exactly what I wrote. So see, Pam, I had to acknowledge you. I didn't want to steal your words, but I wanted to agree. Definitely.
When I was posting all these and I looked at the pics of this one, I said, oh, shit, where's this one going to? And I'll tell you what, the deliverance from the pic itself into the voice of the piece was quite deft. It offers up both angles without walking through one part either way, and it is central. And I do like that second one, but the third one hits on that note of after getting lost, you finally find that which you were looking for in the first place. You finally, I looked up, there she was on a white sandy beach with her pretty pink conch shell. And that finishes off the picture nicely. And boy, does it offer up a different thought moving forward. Yeah, this one's all up to your own dirty minds to figure out what it is.
Yeah, I agree with you, Rex. That third stanza definitely is a great reflection of the image itself.
It draws the whole thing together, which was cut because she touched off with the conch shell as the first on the end of the first line, then finishes it at the end of the last line. So it was a nice end term for it, finish off note.
Right.
Thank you very much, Casey.
All right,
where would you like to deliver us next to?
Oh, gosh. Deliver us from evil. Let me see what we got. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Okay. Here, I'm going to do it this way. Okay, Rex, the next one is up for you. Well, almost. I got to hit the button. There you go.
Footprints in the Rain by Bill Schiller. I see a girl's beautifully bronzed body basking in shade beneath willow tree. She begs me, go, but her footprints beckon me, follow. Beyond boundary where today drowns in tomorrow, and when at last close enough to taste spice in her cinnamon hair, she blows enticing kiss that drifts through air, flies up to clouds. If blue sky is allowed turn gray, some proud romances can handle strained. My bronze beauty delicately dances in turquoise rain. And boom. All right, Jean. This is right up your alley. Short, sweet, and lovely. What do you
think? You know, I do. I really like this piece. I thought it was a wonderful brevity. Yeah. And I think that it was a great take on the lyrics that you gave. There's wonderful imagery throughout this and as it goes down, but then you get down to the end and it says, if blue sky is allowed to turn gray, some proud romances can't handle strain. My bronze beauty delicately dances in turquoise rain. That's like in the beginning of your prompt, isn't it, Rex? Like up near the top, the turquoise rain and
was part of the song itself, yes. As were a couple of other points that it chose from the play with, which worked out really nicely.
Yeah, I think it was really a great take on your prompt provided. And, I think that it was really well done. Yeah, for being such a short piece, I thought he did a fine job with it. Very heavy on the imagery and a nice picture painted. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Thank you, Jean. All right, Pam, how about you?
Well, I have to agree with you, Phil, that this is definitely a wonderful painting with words. I like that he, with this particular one, went heavy-handed with the imagery. I like the time in the rain really, I think, sets the tone for the rite and the whole idea that footprints disappear in the rain. So we know immediately this is someone about something or someone who's going to be a dream or someone or something that disappears quickly. It's almost like it's a tease. I really like, and when at last, close enough to taste spice in her cinnamon hair, the idea of that really sets a wonderful atmosphere. The taste, the spice, and the cinnamon hair. And if blue sky is allowed to turn gray, some proud romances can't handle strain. My bronze beauty delicately dances in turquoise rain. That's very surreal, very dreamy type imagery. So I thought this was very well done.
Thank you very much, you two. And I like his drawing. He drew off certain points in the song itself. The bronze body was a nice touch, as was Beyond Boundary, where today drowns into tomorrow. There is that notion that comes out of the song itself, too, that the cinnamon hair, she blows enticing kiss that drifts, that comes from kiss the tips, kiss waves tips, I think it is, in the song. And the turquoise is also from the song. So he's played off a couple of nice notes to work this as something which is ethereal and wistful too. But it depicts, as Gene said, it paints a beautiful picture of a moment beyond what the title imprint, gives you as Footprints in the Rain. This one walks on a beach theme. So there's that notion of seeing beyond what you see on a rainy day with someone and walking along a very different path. And this is where he came out with. Nicely done as well. And Bill is a first timer to the show. So thank you very much, Bill.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, Gene, it's back on to you.
Okie dokie, here we go. Miss Pam? I got the next one up for you, girlfriend. Oh, wait, before you say a word.
All right.
We have another caller. We have another caller. Woo! We have Gray Eyes is joining us. Hey, Gray.
Hi, Phil. Hi, Rex. Hi, Pam.
Hey, Gray.
Hey, Gray. Good to hear you.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Woo-hoo. Okay. Sorry, Pam.
Oh, no worries. All right. Up, this is Crash by Babbler, and it goes like this. Too many names have been carved into the tissues of my mind, scrawled by eager fingers of lovers who misestimated forever, undulating hips pulling me into the fantasy, submerged between turquoise sheets on rafts thrown together from driftwood memories. Sand that glittered at sunset chafes in the crevices of evening's crimson clamshell. When was the last time I dipped my toes into the world and felt the tickle of fishes or raised my voice in song for myself? A reedy melody cuts through the fog, luring me, each crescendo licking at jagged edges, ushering me in a solo sonata, building and building a careful calligraphy, twisting around the letters of my name, turning and nipping at the swells until an aria crashes upon the shore. End poem.
Great read, Pam, and woo-hoo, Babbler. Bam. Gray, you're first in the room. Why don't we start with you, or last in the room?
Well, that was a beautiful read, Pam. But, you know, this is a very imaginative poem. You know, it's really filled with some clever metaphors, and it's deeply penned. You know, it's definitely carries you through to the end from the start. But a reedy melody cuts through the fog, luring me back, each crescendo licking at jagged edges, ushering me into a solo sonata, building and building. A careful calligraphy twisting around the letters of my name, turning and nipping at the swells until an area crashes upon the shore. Yeah, just fantastic imagery there.
Absolutely. Thank you, Gray. And Jean?
I knew you were going to come to me next. You just knew it. I thought this was excellent. I really enjoyed the imagery throughout in this. I have to say that... Let's see. The first stanza, the intro stanza, I really liked a lot. And I love the, it's the last few lines. Undulating hips pulling me into the fantasy, submerged between turquoise sheets on rafts thrown together from driftwood memories. I love that driftwood memories. And then the sand that glittered at sunset, chafes in the crevices of evening's crimson clamshell. I thought that was just a wonderful set of lines right there. I think Babbler did an extremely great job here. And, I much enjoyed. Very, very much enjoyed.
Yes, they drip in the mines, sort of. All right, where's she going with that one? How about you, Pam?
I like this. It's wonderful imageries and metaphors. It's very intriguing. I like that it has a very kind of sad tone in the first couple of lines, that idea of the too many names have been carved into the tissues of my mind, scrawled by eager fingers of lovers who misestimated forever. That whole idea of the empty promises made to be with you forever. I also like that she used memories again, but this time with the idea of, I guess she didn't use memories again. Okay, I thought it was used twice, but that she used driftwood memories. The ideas of those memories that are shaped by water over time. I also like how the last couple of stanzas make me think of a woman who decides to take matters into her own hands and give herself her own aria, her own swelling crescendos. I thought that was just wonderful imagery all the way through and very well done.
Great comments, guys. And you're right, there is a touch of sadness in those opening lines. But you look in the, you go down to undulating hips pulling me into the fantasy submerged between turquoise sheets. And then that idea of driftwood memories, that which floats around in one's mind. Now that second stanza, I got to say, that's heavily sensual in its connotation. The next one down, when was the last time I dipped my toes into the world and felt the tickles of fishes or raised my voice in song for myself, with a great touch there. And then that full stanza again to finish out, Ray offered up that note of the building tonal note in that and how it crashes with that solo aria on the back end, which was a great finish, which hits also onto that second stanza's very central written lines that prove the point of where Pablo was going with this. And there's almost a siren song to this, which was drawn out of the lyrics themselves. So that was also a nice touch. Thank you, Babbler. All right, Jean.
Okay. Well, let's see now. Pam read that one, so I guess that makes it on me. Yes. Okay. This one is called Blue Is My Love by Crafty Mermaid. Look around and see what I used to be, what is left of me without you. You've turned my world blue. I didn't really think you'd leave without a word. Can't you see how cold my nights are longing for you? The only thing I ever did right was loving you. Now I stay awake all night and lose myself in tears of blue. My life is so blue. I waited too long for your love to be true. Didn't think you would do me wrong. And poem.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, you get first kicks with this one.
Yeah, great read there, Phil. I really like how she uses the color blue to represent both the color of the water, but also the idea of how sad you feel after someone leaves you, after your love is lost. I think there is a wonderful duality in using the word blue over and over again that really makes an impact. I particularly like the second stanza with the question, can't you see how cold my nights are longing for you? And obviously it's a rhetorical question, because if the person's walked away, they can't see, you know. And just a really wonderful, heartfelt write and very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam. And Gray, how about you?
You did a wonderful job reading it, Bill. But, you know, the poem is very impacting with its sadness, you know, with relation to the color of blue and the feeling of blue. She really captured that beautifully. And the poem, being very short, is very deep and heartfelt, painting a sad picture of this lady's life without her lover and, you know, being left alone in blue. It's a tragic thing. So, fantastic poem, excellent emotions.
It is. That picture is gorgeous, and she did play out the blue very nicely, but didn't do it as heavy on the melancholy. It's almost a thought of learning in the process, and each stanza holds that note, the blue, world of blue in the first stanza. Can't you see how cold my nights are longing for you, the second stanza. And then the sort of tears of blue, which follows the third. And then that final, my life is so blue, I waited too long for your love to be true. Didn't think you would do me wrong. So that last line kind of hits on that note of a learning experience, so to speak, but one that was paid for in an everlasting blue, at least in the moment. Thank you very much, Crafty. All right, Jean, we're coming up back to you.
Jean had to step away, but I have the next poem to put up. And
okay.
That is Escaping the Leaden Winter by Chris Bond. And Gray, will you give that a read for us, please?
Sure, Heba. The gray sky feels claustrophobic. It makes winter feel so long, like Alcatraz at its best. From winter there is no escape. It holds you in its gnarled claw. Like a temptress, she can throw you false hope. Odd days with sunshine, temperatures a little more warm. But before you let your hopes rise, she whips away the optimism before your eyes, returning in the guise of a bad-tempered storm. Eventually, even the harshest, though, have no choice but to go. Shackles broken by spring, silent laden, pierced by birdsong. Warmth penetrates the bitter, sporadic cool mornings, a last hazy shade of winter. End poem.
Great read, Gray. Thank you very much. All right, Pam. Why don't you tell us what you thought of Chris's piece here? Something a little different.
Yeah,
he went
this
off that sort of Leaden Winter,
that?
Which was in the song itself.
Oh, never mind. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry. It was just I thought you said my name.
I did.
You did? Oh, okay. That's what I thought. Okay. Yeah, this is different. I like it. I like it. I like the how he brings Alcatraz in here as a metaphor. You know, the gray sky feels claustrophobic. It makes winter feel so long, like Alcatraz at its best. You know, and I like the personification of winter, and like a temptress, she can throw you false hope. Odd days with sunshine, you know, and that is so true, especially as you get near the end of winter. Like right now, we're at that time period where we do get those odd days of sunshine, and then all of a sudden, bam, the cold is back. Shackles broken by spring, silent leaden pierced by birds sing. You know, I like how he took this in a, like, you're right, he did take it in a different direction. This this isn't about the loss necessarily of love, but the moving forward, the getting rid of the colder temperatures, and as winter fades away, but not quite fast enough. So I thought this was beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Gray, you got to read it. How about you?
Yeah, you know, I thought he painted the changing of the season with drama and flair. It really captures all the essences of winter falling away as spring takes hold. And, it was just a fantastically written poem. Eventually, even the harshest, though, have no choice but to go. Shackles broken by spring, silent leaden pierced by birdsong. Warmth penetrates the bitter. Sporadic cool mornings, a last hazy shade of winter. Excellent, right?
Excellent. Thank you very much, Gray. Jean, how about you? But you got to unmute first.
Son of a gun. I always get caught with that, too. Every time.
Hey, it only took you 45 minutes this time. Well,
hey,
actually,
hey,
that's a long time.
Yeah, I'm telling you, usually it's like the first 5 minutes I've already screwed up. I thought this was a great piece by Chris. I didn't have time to sit and truly absorb it and think about it in reflection of the prompt. But I thought it was nicely written. And, I did like the center stanza. It strikes me as a brevity. I'm not sure what exactly constitutes a brevity. It reminds me of a brevity. It looks a little longer than some, but it's not like full-on poem to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But I love the center stanza in this, and I love the line, eventually even the harshest, though, have no choice but to go. Shackles broken by spring, silent leaden pierced by bird wing. I think that the second stanza is wonderful, and he definitely leads us back out of the winter in that last stanza, which is a nice exit in this piece. And I thought it was nicely done. So there we go.
Absolutely.
Great job.
Great comments, gang. He worked off a singular thought, that leaden winter off from out of the song, which was a nice touch because he rolled off of it really well. The thought was winter feels so long, like Alcatraz at its best, which I thought that was a nice touch, a great disillusionment of things and life itself. And from winter, there is no escape. It holds you in its gnarled claw, which was a really nice touch to being deep in that set of winter. And then the thought of like a temptress gives you false hope. You get a couple of days of odd sunshine, and then you get blasted once again. And then the end line in that second stanza really hits the note too, returning in the guise of a bad-tempered storm. So once again, you're thrust back into that harsh winter fold. But the back end of this is a nice touch to where the dawn of spring finally comes to bear. Warmth penetrates the bitter, sporadic cool mornings, a last hazy shade of winter, and finally that note to smile upon. Man, warmer days are here once more. I can go outside. Thank you very much, Chris. That was wonderful.
All right, Jean. You can't go outside. We should get rain going, right? That's where it was.
Say what?
I said if you can't walk outside, at least you can be rained on. Spring.
Yes.
Spring rain. Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, there's something a little bit warmer in those notes of spring rains.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, now let me see. For my next magic trick, I am going to... Oh, it should be you.
Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat. Ooh.
I know, it's terrible. I had one up for you in my first room. Forgot to put it anywhere. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Well, here we go. Okay, Rex, this one's for you. When
Okie dokie. Lapis lazuli eyes. Deeply I swam her shimmering lapis lazuli eyes, framed by gently fluttering raven lashes. Her cold stare shone across empty spaces, promising such sensual, secretive surprise. She was a perfect painting of desire, an unobtainable dream of smoldering passion. Pouting, molten lips invited to be invaded, to tame her spellbinding, seductive smile. Her hair cascaded in torrents of shiny silk that tumbled amid tresses of shady shadows, glowing over pure, petite, feminine precision as she gracefully stalked with silent stealth. Her figure swept in a curvaceous caress, painting portraits of sublime submission that poured forth from above to rest in my arms, igniting each fantasy with eager anticipation. Inside her face, I saw eternity unfold. Her mysteries were hidden in sparkles that glistened among oceanic ripples from the sapphire labyrinth of her soul. As her aloof gaze aimlessly wandered, momentarily meeting me in a visual embrace of azure, gold-etched tones like sunlit skies, whispered from lapis lazuli eyes. End poem. Gray, why don't we start with you, please?
Well, you did a fantastic read of that, Rex. But the poem is, you know, it's enchanting and endearing. You can picture looking into these eyes and being captivated by them. And then the rest of her essence and being pours through the right until the very end is, I watched her soul aloof gaze aimlessly wandered, momentarily meeting me in a visual embrace of azure gold-etched tones like sunlit skies, whispered from the lapis lazuli eyes. Yeah, just an amazing right.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Gray. Pam, how about you?
Well, first of all, great read there, Rex. I really like how he goes, this is a wonderfully sensual rite, but it's a delicate and a graceful sensuality. I like how he takes the lines from the prompt and the colors of the sea for the sparkling waves are calling you. And so he takes the color of the sea that you think of, like the, and we're carving deep blue ripples. He takes that color blue and he focuses in on the eyes, makes that the color of her eyes. And I like how this is about being drawn in by that feminine precision, that feminine persuasion. And I really liked her figure swept in a curvaceous caress, painting portraits of sublime submission that pour forth from above to rest in my arms, igniting each fantasy with eager anticipation. Inside her face, I saw eternity unfold. Her mysteries were hidden in sparkles. I like that the idea of that it's not just the sensuality of the body, but the sensuality of the mind, a spark behind the eyes. So I thought this was beautifully written and very well done.
Well said, Pam. Thank you very much. And Jean, how about you?
I knew it was going to be me. Oh, and I'm not muted. That is so cool. So cool. I really liked this piece a lot. I really did. I thought there was a nice, soft sensuality to it. I have to agree with you, Pam, 100%. I thought that the thoughts were soft and feminine, you know, in the way they were expressed, you know, towards a woman, you know, if that makes sense. And I like that very much. You know, I thought it was a great take on the prompt that he chose. Absolutely, because it was down in his AN. And the colors of the sea for the sparkling waves are calling you. She drowns you in her body, carving deep blue ripples in the tissues of your mind. So that was the stanza out of the song that he chose, or the, you know, part of the lyric. And I think that he really did a great job, you know, reflecting that in the poem itself. So wonderful job, Arcana, and thank you so much. Have a great night. You know.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jean. And you're right. He played out that that thought. The one stanza he took was, "And the colors of the sea, for the sparkling waves are calling you. She drags you in her body, carving deep blue ripples in the tissues of your mind." Was a great piece to play off, and he did it well. And you're right, there is sensualness, but for me, it comes across as slightly dark as well because of the language used. Her cold stare shone across empty spaces. To tame her spellbinding, seductive smiles, kind of a note to mesmerism in the moment. And then as she gracefully stalked with silent stealth, there is even though the notion is to have pure and petite and feminine precision, there is that being stalked with silent self, which kind of offers up the thought of there's something darker going on here, especially when you hit the thought of a fantasy with eager anticipation. What was it? There was one more. The sapphire labyrinth of her soul. There was one other thing. Painting portraits of sublime submission. So there is a nice notion that she might be the woman of your dreams, so to speak, but the thought of that woman of your dreams might be the last thing you know in that moment. There's a little underlying note to darkness, which really works well. Thank you, Arcana.
You
all right,
Jean. What about you, Pam? I didn't call that dark. What do you think, Pam? That's a gross
thing. No, the dark I saw was only me. You guys saw the sensual angle.
No, I was teasing. I was teasing about that last line that you made point of. That's all. Just trying to be funny. Sorry. I'll be good now. Anyway.
It's all right. That's what the different comments are for, to illuminate.
Yeah, Pam's laughing. She got it. See, Pam, I knew you'd catch on. Oh, my God. Okay, here we go. I'm going to put this piece up by Diane D. I always want to put an A in there. Here we go.
Purple Rains by Diane D. You're dodging landmines in the jungles, where hopscotch triggers a cluster bomb, swiveling and swerving around road rats. You've driven the life out of that 80s Lada. Green dandelions husk in your crevices, where fluff follows you like tumbleweeds, and the chain metal tracks chop up gravel that scratches the sky with knobby fingers. As puffs of smoke took inches off your life, jagged spears of lightning crash around us. With superficial accuracy, it pours pastels. The first light of day marinated the oceans. Noise of scattered crows that roosted in the tree trunks underneath an African open sky. You took your multi-alarmed form and swept beneath the violet pillar inside the vacuum. Before the roar of the cloud perma pressed its thumbprints into the moon-washed bunkers, purple raindrops tender a tangy scent of salt, and a delicate pink puffy cloud drifts away. End poem.
Great read, Diane. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is truly appreciated. All right, Pam. Why don't you kick us in the gear? What do you think?
Yeah, I really like this one. I like the way it flows. Like, it should be a rhyming poem. Like, it has a really nice meter to it. You know, you've driven the life out of that 80s Lada. I'm guessing from the fact that I Googled and it said it's a car made in Russia, that it must obviously be a car from the 1980s. And I have to say that if you got a car from the 1980s that's still lasting, that's pretty good. So the green dandelions husk in your crevice were fluff billows you like tumbleweed, and the chain metal tracks chop up gravel that scratches the sky with knobby fingers. I really like that stanza because of the fact that there's this idea of this balance, or I don't know if it's a balance or juxtaposition, this idea of imagery that is both soft and hard. It feels almost like the idea of things that go right and things that go wrong in life. Another one I really like is that she brings in the second stanza, the scent of salt. Purple raindrops tender, a tangy scent of salt, and a delicate pink puffy cloud drifts away. Another rite that has really dream-like, surreal imagery. And I like that she brought the color purple in here, but she didn't do it with the fishes. Like, she played off of that line with the idea of the purple fishes, but instead she mentions, you know, the violet pillars, the purple raindrops, and even throws in extra colors like pink puffy clouds. And I just think really stunning imagery all the way through and very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam. And Gray, how about you?
Well, you know, it took you on a fantastic journey through this imagination of hers to places like Africa and, with the crows roosting and green dandelion husks, digging landmines in the jungles, hopscotch triggers a cluster bomb. I really liked it. It was a really excellent, excellent write filled with incredible imagery.
Absolutely. Thank you, Gray. And Jean, the dancing machine, how about you?
You tell me I've been cold worse than that. Many times, isn't that?
Yeah, I'm going to keep that somewhere in the back of my mind, the Gong Show. Jean, the dancing machine.
What was his name? Rip Taylor? Wasn't he part of that mess? Didn't call it a mess.
Well, actually, he might have been in there a few times.
I think he was. I think he was like the MC or something. And every time you say that, that's what I picture in my head. I see an image of Rip Taylor. Thank you so much. Some things are better left than shadows. I think Diane did a great job with this piece. I thought it was a short film quality piece here. Moving images were well written. It kind of kept moving as if you were watching a short film. And it's funny, Pam, because when you were talking and you were saying, you know, it was kind of hard, kind of soft, the imagery that I got here was of the woman in the original Terminator movie. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
The one. Okay. That's the kind of imagery I was getting from this. You know, so kind of soft, kind of hard. So it's funny you said that. That was like a spot-on reference, Pam, really. I thought that was pretty neat. Because when you said it, I'm like, oh, my God, there's a little bit of validation there. Yes, I was right about something. I could be wrong, but, you know, it felt good for a second or three. So I totally get where you're coming from. And, Diane, I think you did a great job with this. So thanks so much for sharing with us. Absolutely.
Great comments, everybody. And you're right, I like the abstract role that she took with this. It's on a, as you put it, that sort of rolling through tidbits of a screen from a movie. And it's almost as though you open up, you're dodging landmines in the jungles where hopscotch triggers a cluster bomb, swiveling and swirling around road rats. You've driven the life of that 80s Lada. It's on that notion of the mind itself getting a little bonkers in the moment because of what's going on. And then that next scene unfolds with green dandelions husking your crevices and chop up gravel that scratched the sky with knobby fingers. Great lines to play with and offer up. And the first light of day marinated the oceans. It is full of pomp, circumstance, and multi-layered thought, which offers up one who indulges to each time they read, they can walk through a different point of view as to what each stanza represents and the whole with everything together. So Great job there, Diane. Thank you very much. All right, Jean. It's up back to you.
Go, dear. Okay, here we go. Pam, can I get you the next one?
Yep.
Okay, dokie. Thank you very much.
You are welcome. This is Zola by Time Teller, and it goes like this. The wind refreshes the sails as stardust streams from whales, a cosmic aftermath, Hector's fallen dreams, finding coal in golden seams, and chase the spears with Cosines. Athena listens to Odysseus' whines. She plays the wrath of Neptune, soothes the worms of Dune. And where are the guns of suns, flares that skin the snake queen? Helen, you've murdered our beloved Hector. Rhubarb and custard went with him, and the stars are vectors. Now a fate has been sealed. The Phaeacians can't stop it. Destiny is coming like bell with peals. The constellations have it written. Odysseus, you'll pay the price. Too long neglected is your wife. And we are left chasing dolphins, looking for the shores. Defiance in our travels, even between all the wars. Can we talk ever again? See it as everything other than blame? Or do we always look for ego, like sirens, their high-pitched vertical? Do we always need to take control, lash the ropes and rigging, always be the man in charge, give it this and give it large? If we sit back and take, don't we fall beneath their spell, descend into a deeper hell where krakens burn awake? Odysseus, Athena has your back. Go home now with your pack. But Zola once said, leave the world be. Tend your own garden. With age, a world gets smaller, and acceptance for you is free. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. All right, Gray, why don't you start us off, please?
You did a wonderful read with that, Pam. I'm sorry?
I didn't say anything. But you go ahead and comment.
Okay. Yeah, you did a wonderful read with that, Pam. But, you know, this poem is powerful in its ability to pull you through. It's descriptive, you know, full of adventure. You know, it really is insightful in its do we always need to take control, lash the ropes and rigging, always be the man in charge, give it this and give it large. You know, if we sit back and take, don't we fall beneath their spell, descend into a deeper hell where krakens burn awake. You know, it's haunting imagery and just a beautiful poem.
Thank you, Gray. Jean, how about you?
You know, I thought this was, let me look. Oh, I did it. Yay. I love the mythological references all throughout this piece, and I thought it was a story, you know, well told. There were different sections throughout. Gosh, I got to find one now. You know, and we are left chasing dolphins, looking for the shores, defiant in our travels, even between all the wars. Can we talk ever again, see it as anything other than blame, or do we always look for ego, like sirens, their high-pitched vertigo? It's very well done. It, you know, some of the lines rhymed, and some of them I expected them to, and they didn't. But it still worked. It wasn't necessary for them to. It kind of threw me for a second, but then I'm like, well, wait, it just works. Because then it didn't rhyme. I think the rhyme may have been, you know, I don't want to use the word accidental, but I think it was just strategically placed here and there. And I thought that was a clever way to handle it. But I really thought it was a nice piece, and I love the tale that she told. So nice work.
Excellent. Thank you, Jean. All right, Pam, you got to read it.
Yeah, this was a fun one to read. And I have to agree with you, Jean, about the rhyme. I like the way he didn't do it consistently, and I think that actually worked really well with the imagery that he chose. Like, he had a consistent inconsistency. Like, I mean, even in that second stanza where he mentions Odysseus and Neptune, but then all of a sudden there's this switch to the mentioning of the worms of Dune. You know, like, the whole idea of going from one an older mythology to a fairly newer mythology, because if I remember right, Dune, the book, was written in like the 1970s, maybe 80s, I'm not sure exactly, but obviously way after stories about Odysseus and Neptune. So, you know, I like that idea of the idea of someone or something that can soothe the worms of Dune, because they were known, you know, obviously they lived under the sand. They were very violent and just popped up out of the blue. I like the question, Odysseus, the Odysseus, you'll pay your price, too long neglected is your wife. That stanza there really makes me think of the whole idea of how, like, tend to your own yard, tend to your own well, you know, don't go worrying. Like, you know, don't go worrying about your neighbor's well when you have to take care of your own. I, too, really also like that line about, like, sirens, they're high-pitched vertical. And I like how he uses mythology and yet brings us into modern times with those end lines. With age, a world gets smaller and acceptance for you is free. You know, to me, that really touches on the whole idea of how technology has made the world a smaller place, and with this has come both the good and unfortunately the bad of that. So just a really great write all the way through, and very well done.
Great comments, everybody. This was another kind of an abstract piece that played well. That first stanza, the wind refreshes the sails as stardust streams from whales. I like that visual image of watching a whale blow its spouts in the moonlight, and you view that that cascading bit of water as stardust streams. Nice, clever touch there. And then the back of this, Hector's fallen dreams, finding coal in golden seams. Boy, does that paint the picture of Hector's death, being the one, the leader in the moment, only to find his demise at the hands of Achilles. And I, too, that drop with the Odysseus wines, she plays the wrath of Neptune, soothes the worms of doom. It's kind of a nice play of walking a creature in to either ravage or soothe in the moment. Helen, you've murdered our beloved Hector. Rhubarb and tusk run within, and the stars are vectors. That thought of how the heavens lead the way to that which we know from myth and legend and lore. And then he hits on the constellations as well in the next stanza. And the thought of Odysseus, you'll pay your price. Too long neglected is your wife. That reference to the years long at sea and the trials and tribulations Odysseus went at. And that next stanza. And we are left chasing dolphins, looking for the shores, defiance in our travels, even between all the wars. Kind of puts the kind of crowning note in the cake there. Even with the note of ease, we're still troubled to the point where we can't sit still enough without actually getting back into that that frame, so to speak. I do like the last two lines. With age, your world gets smaller, and acceptance for you is free. There's that note of learning throughout the ordeals. Nicely done there. I'm telling you, that was wonderful. All right, Jean, we're coming to you.
Okay, well, Gray, I have one for you to read, my friend. whenever you're ready.
Okie dokie. This
Thank
is called
you.
The Color of Her Song by Poetic Creations. Under the craggy cliffs, waves tormented the shore. Dance paddled, broken oars in the storm. The colors of the leaves were the reds in her long hair, stained by the blood of those who set foot there. Chasing heavenly stars, following a path of footprints, the sky greets the sea, but love knows no sentiment. Dead men shall not die, nor do they grieve for the lost. Sweet songs do soothe those brave souls who fought. End poem.
Great read, great. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, what do you got?
Not sure she's back yet.
I am Sorry. Just back, so if you could have somebody else comment first, I'd appreciate it.
Oh, you got the first dip. Aha.
How did I know it was going to be me? No, I'm only kidding. Only kidding.
Did you open your mouth?
You wise guy. I'll see if I do that again. Pam, you're on your own. I like this piece. I wish I knew. Was this written for? I guess it was written for the contest. It's in there. I wish I knew which parts
yep.
of the song lyrics that he had grabbed. I'm not the most well versed on this, but I thought it was a great piece. It was a very solemn piece, but it was well written, most definitely. And I think that it was a great read on it as well. Under the craggy cliffs, waves tormented the shore. Dead hands paddled, broken oars in the storm. It starts out with that very, dark, just a plain old dark beginning to it. And the color of her song, I guess it has to do with the sirens. I guess I'd be silly if I, said, I don't know what party did, but obviously I do. But the color of the leaves were the reds in her long hair, stained by the blood of those who set foot there. I liked it. I really did. I liked the dark note on that because the sirens were supposed to be bad girls. Bad girls. So, Poetic Creations, I think that this is a really good piece. Very well done. And I think it was a great nod to the sirens in the song, the original song. So nicely done. Nice take on. It's a nice shift, I think.
Excellent.
Welcome.
Thank you, Jean. And Gray, mm-hmm. you got to read this. How about you?
I thought it was fantastically written. He has an excellent storytelling ability to it. It was visceral and engaging. It really pulled you through to the end from the opening. Under the craggy cliffs, waves tormented the shore. Dead hands, paddle, broken oars in the storms. How fantastic is that imagery? And then it carries on through like that right till the very end of it. Dead men shall not die, nor do they grieve for the lost. Sweet songs do smooth those brave souls who fought. And just fantastic imagery and an excellent poem.
Excellent. Thank you, Greg. All right, Pam, back to you. And this time you have to offer.
Yeah. Well, I really like this. I like that he went with the darker side of the song, really focused on what do you call those? The things that sing and lure men to their death.
Sirens,
yes. Sorry, I blanked out on that word. But I like that he went with the dark side of that and the sirens. But besides the sirens, it also really reminded me of like the haunted ships, the idea of men who die at sea, I really thought that came through in lines like dead hands paddle, broken oars in the storm. I felt like that worked all really good on the whole idea of the idea of a haunted ship or a haunted boat. And dead men shall not die. To me, I felt like that was a whole idea of an eternity lived in a personal hell. And sweet songs do soothe those brave souls who fought. And I thought it took a really nice turn. Like, I don't know if it's a turn or it just really made you all of a suddenly aware as it got to the end that these were men who went into battle. And whether it was they were because they were soldiers in the first place or their battle was simply that of fighting against the song of the siren. Mm-hmm. You know, just a really strong imagery all the way through, and a great idea of the metaphors of life and death and the battles fought. Very well done.
Great comments, everybody. Thank you. And this was kind of twofold. It does walk up that thought with the song itself, the sirens and the play around death itself. But it also hints on chasing heavenly stars, following a path of footprints. The sky greets the sea, but love knows no sentiment. There is that notion too of coming forward into the 15th to the early 1900s when wooden ships were sailing the seas. If it wasn't for battle, then it was for country, for fishing and various other things. Anyway, a lot of those sailors went down with their ships due to freak storms. So that thought of the second and third stanza hit me with the idea of that woman who's left standing on the shore and seeing that detritus run inland, because that is what's left of a ship. Her husband or boyfriend was on, and nobody made it to shore. And the thought of the sweet songs we soothe those brave souls who fought. And there's that idea of both the angle to the song itself, the original, but also those who fought the sea to actually live but never made it back to land. So nicely done, poetic. Thank you very much. All right, Jane, we're back to you.
Okay. Well, Rex, I think I'm coming back to you. Just saying.
Oh, this one's for me? Okay. The Aphrodite Vision by Richette. We have fought our battles with such bravery. Heroic now we journey across the ocean. Ionian, our tortured mode of travel. Tempest, trouble, swell, storms of emotion. As we watch our yearn for yawns unravel, crying to the sea gods, set us free. And now the mighty shaker of the earth stands in our way, we quiver and we quake. O Neptune, dancing to a different tune, Poseidon stepped aside, for I will break your trident clean in two. And as the sun turns supernova, storms of asteroids now raining all around, smashing through our levers politic from their strange blue bubbles, our fancies on the rise. The sea that shimmers azure, green, and gold, lippers and our lovers gallop on, our tales of wonder once were bought and sold, now diving deep for us to gaze upon. His dark and mystique submerged salty kingdom, creatures such as we have never seen. This Aphrodite vision, golden brown, that teases, torments, tortures, beckons me. She scares, excites me, tantric takes me down upon a high, the bottom of the sea. And in those oceanic depths, so sudden dismissal, dark despair, we will never catch our breath, gulping for his loss. The blotted sun will nevermore shine upon our loyal love, facing now our whole wide world of bloated pain, to never hear the siren song again. And boom. All right, Pam, you got this one on the front.
Okie dokie, Smokey. All right, well, as always, he just wonderful flows with poetry, strong imagery. I really like how he goes with his alliteration. And as the sun turns supernova, storms of asteroids now raining all around, smashing through our levers politic from the strange brewing bubbles, our fancies on the rise. I really like that imagery. I also like where he brings up the next stanza, the lip is on her lovers gallop on. I actually got to go see the Lipizzaner horses perform like many, many years ago. And so you get this imagery of these lovers not just galloping, not just trotting, but performing in front of people, like dancing. You can see them dancing together. And in these ocean depths, such sudden, dismal, dark despair, we will never catch our breath, gulping for his lost, sweet air. You know, to me, he takes this from that the tone changes with that last stanza. You know, there's this kind of sense of hope throughout it, of love and of hope, but then there's that, and I really like that instead of pain, he put bloated pain, because it really adds to the darkness, plus it gives you the imagery of how the body of somebody who is drowned would start to bloat. So just beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Gray, how about you?
Great read, Rex. But the poem is fantastic. You know, it really takes you on this journey through having fought battles and then setting sail and, you know, all the sea that goes on with that. You know, and now the mighty shaker of the earth stands in our way. We quiver and we quake, O Neptune, dancing to a different tune. Poseidon, step aside, for I will break your trident clean in two. You know, it speaks to the person's inner strength and power. And then to lose that all, facing that whole wide world of bloated pain, to never hear the siren's song again. You know, he's dead there. So a really haunting poem, filled with fantastic imagery.
Great comment. Thank you, Gray. All right, Gene, how about you?
Doggone it, man. What are you, like, tuned in? I don't even get 30 seconds and you know I'm muted. Doggone. Yeah. Jeez. It's like she's got the radar on me. Like, I know she did it this time. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, before I started my comment, talk to me about these obtuse references to some of the songs on that album. He says he's got obtuse references. I'm like, I was looking at him going, well, I don't recognize anything, so I must be off my rocker. But anyway, I guess I should pause on that. But I thought it was a great write. I love the imagery throughout. The tale was well told. I like the references. And, I love the last two stanzas because I thought that they really told a tale just in themselves. So I thought they were nicely done. Okay, now you can tell me all about the references.
Oh, absolutely. This is that opening stanza, nice touch with the we've fought our battles with such bravery, and to finish out with a crying to the sea gods, set us free. That already right there, you already know there's a little bit more death and disaster that shall come through. I like that thought, Poseidon, step aside, for I will break your trident clean in two. And from this strange brew bubbles, our fancies on the rise. I like that thought from the another song as well. And what have we got? This one, the Aphrodite vision, golden brown, that teases, torments, tortures, beckons me. She scares, excites me. Tantric takes me down upon her eye, the bottom of the sea. I like that that definition there, upon her eye, the bottom of the sea. Or that sing of weighted fortunes now just laying on the ocean floor at the high point of her. The siren song. Nicely done, Rich. Thank you very much. All right, Gene, we're coming to you. Ha ha, hee ho ho.
Oh, God, I'm supposed to do something. Shoot. Okay. That's just sad but true. Let me see now. I'm going to regroup here for a second. Dun, 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 dun. Not done. Okay, Pam. I got one for you.
Okie dokie.
Yeah, I can just get it to pick up. There you go. Okie dokie. Here we go. I'm ready when you are. Ta-da.
All right. Comparison About Circumstances by Jesna Sajan. and it goes like this. When a baby wails, seeing a new world around, his parents hugs and calms it down. What about a baby whose parents are gone? Who will listen to those magnified fears born? When the child grows up, fears about school, strangers, his parents consoles, all is well, carrying bags, wiping tears. What about the child without parents, close loved ones who will assure it's fine to go to school, safety zones? When the teacher picks a fight, tears his clothes, rebel, builds, oh, when the, I'm sorry, teen, I'm going to say that. When the teenager picks a fight, tears his clothes, rebel, builds anger, displeasure, revengeful, seeks, compel. What about the child who is a victim wrongly abused? Why are they against it, tattered, worthless, used? The teenager who drops out of school, unable to fund school fees, education, tax, and education bond. It looks at the dwelling, fate, circumstances reveal. Either it strives to make opportunity or curses to fail. The undeserving, failing teenagers paid by a parent to get a degree, servants, friends, relationships on rent, enjoy spendthrift, dashing looks, addictions, compilations. The teenager, now an adult, swayed by dream constellations. The deserving teenager decides to aim high, work hard, makes ends meet, juggle five jobs, homelessness, time bared, parents struggle, illness, stroke, convulsions, old age, death. The teenager, unabated, educated, humble, accepts its fate. Networking creates opportunities, achievements, reactions. Others wait for chances, job matching expectations. Never blame it on fate, circumstances, people, and trends. Money is what binds parents, contacts, and friends. Till 20, 24 years is spent, earn, yearn, fulfilling dreams, ignore health, consuming processed meals, takes creams, says it's happiness, gathering, drinking, smoking, singing. At 50, enters the clinic, shock, desperation, starts ringing. Crimes between friends, family, neighbors, unknown people, emotional outbursts of life, hope, then songs of bugle, blame, judge, society demands, debate on behaviors. Yet no one takes notice, hurts, hates, burns, conspires. Treat no one less or more. Equality gives happiness. Keep jealousy at bay. Encourage freedom of press. Encourage growth of nature, fruit, fauna, and flower. Boost energy, stamina, longevity, experience giver. Old age or young age, live life expressive, expansive. Make one a true story, restoration to live. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And that was really a different look on the piece itself, bringing it forward very nicely. Thank you, Jessica. And Gray, why don't we start with you, please?
Great read, Pam. But it was a deeply thought-provoking, right? You know, it really takes you through all these situational theories and pulls you through to the end where it does make one a true story, restoration to live. You know, live life to the fullest and to the best that you can with what you've got. I think that trying to look down on what you don't have is harder on a soul. So live for what you do have and keep striving for growth and expansion. I thought it was a beautiful pen.
Excellent. Thank you, Greg. And Jean, how about you?
Well, I think, see, I hesitated that time and you didn't say a word and I wasn't on you. That's the weirdest thing. You must hear my fan or something in the background.
There's that,
you know,
3 second delay.
Jeez. I, you know, this is a great piece. I wish I I found it interesting. I'd love to know what prompt was used to pull this into the contest, because I couldn't quite put my finger on it. But as I said, it was an interesting write, and it was well done. So nice job.
Thank you, Jean. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I have to agree. It's interesting, right? I like how the whole idea of, asking the questions of what about that child who was raised without parents, and how do our circumstances affect us, and how do the way we treat each other affect us, and at what point do we just make decisions for ourselves, no matter what our background or, no matter what our childhood was like? Do we move forward and act in maturity? So really, I think the comparison about circumstances was definitely a fitting title. So very well done.
Thank you, Pam. I think the biggest draw from this is, it's not about the circumstances one gets born into. It's the choices one makes in their life that actually leads them where they go, either by the nose or out of abject idiocy at times. But you got to hold yourself up to that which is, as opposed to that which you believe. Just because you're a little short on something doesn't mean that you deserve something more. It's a point of actually living up to yourself as opposed to being given into yourself. Nicely done, Chesna. Thank you very much. All right, Jean. We're coming back to you.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to put this piece up by S Sharp, and we have an audio for this, so give me a second. We hit that button.
They say the song remains the same. Under the heavens, they sacrifice paupers with the easiness of Led Zeppelin's Misty Mountain Hop. A dance with misery where we all get in line. Kicking up heels in the face of adversity where love and hate together dine. Candlelight, eyes all aglow, where nobody minds what they do not pay any attention to. And the waiters bring us a meal of disdain, served on a silver platter of contempt, condemnation, with a towel over one arm, without a care as long as you leave a tip on the doorstep of pretense, where songs fade to oblivion, holding on to shreds of decency in the arms of the Madonna.
Great read, S. Sharp. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. All right, Pam. You're off on the front line with this one.
Yeah, I really like this. I like, first of all, that he's now making SoundCloud. This is the second one I've heard of his. With this one, I particularly like how his reading had a very deep poet feel to it. Like, I found myself just wanting to snap my fingers. It felt very jazzy. I really like the imagery of Misty Mountain Hop, a dance with misery where we all get in line, kicking up heels in the face of adversity, where love and hate together dine. Like that whole idea of the love and the hate dining together is that, to me, that idea of not being able to tell one from the other. And bring us a meal of disdain served on a silver platter. Oftentimes, those who disdain you the most will serve up that meal on a silver platter. and in the end line, holding on to shreds of decency in the arms of the Madonna. I like how that's a spiritual reference, but to me, the Madonna could also mean, it could be like the Madonna, the singer, and the idea of how we worship pop icons, or could even be Madonna representing of motherhood, that idea of you know, that last shred of decency, but being found in the arms of motherhood. So just really a thought-provoking and intriguing write, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. I like that. And great. How about you?
Yeah, I agree. Add a lyrical quality to it, Pam. You did a wonderful job. I mean, he did an excellent job reading it. But, yeah, no, it's just a beautiful poem. You know, it's attention to detail in here is fantastic. Where the waiters bring us a meal of disdain served on silver platter, contempt, condemnation, with a towel over one arm, without care. Yeah, life's serving it to you, and you're going to tip them for it. So just a fantastic poem.
And Jean, how about you?
Well. I thought it was a great write. I thought it was a thought-provoking work, and the points were well made throughout. And I loved the tone in which he delivered the read. There's something about his tone that really, I don't want to say brought it to life, but I think that it made it hit home just a little bit more. It was just definitely, he just had the right tone about him. And I guess he wrote it, so I guess he would know which way to say it. But it really, but I think that really made the piece. It definitely made one pause and listen, you know. So I thought he did a great job. So S Sharp, that was excellent. And nice work with the SoundCloud. Mm-hmm.
Great comments, everybody. Another abstract piece that kind of walks itself into today's logic of where we are, just society, as opposed to where the song drove under the sort of myths and legends and the gods. This kind of walks on a different tone, but holds the same angle. I like to throw with they sacrificed paupers with the easiness of Led Zeppelin, Misty Mountain Hop, A Dance with Misery, where we all get in line, kicking up heels in the face of adversity, where love and hate together dine. Great lines right there, and so is that the back end of this, with the holding off the shreds of decency in the arms of the Madonna. That does kind of hit on that that notion of begging, please, to that which one knows is coming, but they haven't really been that righteous to begin with, and yet they still beg on that notion of in the arms of the Madonna. All right, where would you like to go next?
Well, Rex, I think the next one is on you. I put it up in the room already.
Oh, okay. Be fooled and bejeweled neath ocean waves. Hairy corvettes split the notion of lemongrass tea leaves, where almonds were the ocean draining down like sheaves. And in that frank discussion, stirring up the pot, muscle-shoaled induction deburning your turbot. Fisheye lens emotions deep beneath the waves, baiting those commotions inside Neptune's rose-filled staves. And in the roiling sea breeze, burbling from below, comes a tainted glowworm ranking arms and undertow. Black and blue velour, where sky and ocean chalk, saw the coming of the beast, 'tis time to gnaw on that Garthok. His bounty has arisen, a tempest to beware, for in that single iris, black beak and sonic stare, there was a crushing crack, splintering our focusle, that reduced us to ocean bric-a-brac. Davy Jones saw the last of us packed within his locker, green slimy kraken succubus, our blighted port cochere, and from this ocean silence, 1,000 fathoms down, shod in our defiance, among the kelp we drown. Neptune and his poet sages writ upon these ancient pages, about the lives he took, seafaring through his many rages. And Paula.
Wow. Great job, Rex. Pam, you want to start us off on comments?
Oh, I'd be happy to. Yeah, wonderful read there, Rex. I really like this imagery all the way through. The use of the lemongrass tea leaves or almonds were the ocean raining down like sheaves, and in that frank discussion stirring up the pot. You know, it's I like that you toss in there the frank discussion that stirs the pot. Fisheye lens emotions deep beneath the waves. There's a, with fisheye lens emotions, there's almost a kind of a coldness, but there I also think of the idea of, even though it mentions deep below the waves, the idea of how a fish would see things, you know, like you within a fish bowl. So really like his bounty is an attempt to beware, for in a single iris black beak and sonic stare there was a crushing crack, splintered our foul souls that reduced us to ocean's thick brack. That feels like the idea of a sea monster or a giant squid, and reduced us to ocean's bric-a-brac was a real great way to describe the whole, like the crushing apart of a ship until it, or the crushing apart of bones until they are nothing but small little pieces. So really just an amazing, right, telling of deep sea adventures and mythology. So very well done.
You said that with a bit of relish. Crushed your bits and pieces.
Well, you know how I like my bits and pieces crushed. So.
Oh, thank you, Pam.
You're welcome.
Oh, my gosh. And Gray, how about you, hon? Uh-oh. Gray, are you on mute? I know the deal.
I am. I was being bitten by the mute monster. But no, you did an excellent read on that, Rex. And your vocabulary is astounding with words like narpal and garthok. You know, I had to Google it and see what came up. But I thought it was just a brilliant write, you know, takes you through this journey to the bottom of the ocean, being queued up like bric-a-brac. And I thought it was just a fantastic poem. Excellent write, excellent read.
Thank you, Gray.
Okay, and
absolutely.
Then you're stuck with me. I thought this was an excellent write all the way through. I get lost in some of the words because I go, huh? But I'm like, yeah, I know they make sense because I just have to go and check them all out first. But first go through, I get it. But I can bypass those, and I can tell you I really loved the last two stanzas of this. Davy Jones saw the last of us packed within his locker. Green slimy cracking succubus, our blighted poor kosher, and formed this ocean silence, 1,000 fathoms down, shot in our defiance, among the kelp we drown. You know, and then Neptune and his poet sages respond in his ancient pages about the lives he took seafaring through his many rages. I can't talk, but, you know, I thought that was just, that was really tight. You didn't have rhyme upon rhyme upon rhyme coming down there. You had them split out enough that they weren't, like, hitting you in the head or smacking you in the face as you were reading them, which kind of goes more with the Davy Jones kind of angle on it. It shouldn't be that way. So I think that was just a great choice in that respect. But a really nicely done piece, Rex, and, you know, wonderful job.
Thank you, Jane, and everybody. Where would
and
you
Rex,
like
would you
to
like to comment
in?
On this? I'm all big play.
Oh, all right. I'll hit you on a couple things. I know I've written out as Harry Corvett's was that was back in when I was cooking. We'd call haricot verts. They're small French green bean Harry Corvett's. But for here, this a corvette is also a ship, so that kind of works its way in there. And the thought with Gray offered up Narfle the Garthok. That comes out of the Conehead, the movies, the goshawk is a six-armed beastie. So I kind of roll that into the kraken as both the one and the same, or at least of the realm of thought for creatures.
Always an education. Okay. Great job. Let me hit that button. Okay, Pam, I have the next one for you. And
okie dokie.
Whenever you ready. Whenever you're
all right. All right. This is Palm Leaves and Driftwood in Mutterings of Paradise. And it goes like this. Sol shines brightly, a flaxen carriage driven across an azure sky. There's a primitive beauty in coral sands, caressed by the fingertips of crystal waves foamed. Splintered pieces of shipwreck stand out like a neon wound in Mutterings of Paradise. She walks among the dunes, an angel with henna tattoos on her cocoa skin. The island birds are prismatic songs upon a balmy breeze. In shallow pools swim little fishes, grinning like split plums. Meanwhile, sharks are feasting upon a merry-go-round of voyagers splayed across open waters. There are no heroes here, only everything and everyone forgotten. The dusky-haired woman hopes for love, and the fishes, they long for hypnotic fingers to live the weaver's buoyant dreams. They all covet to laugh of something, at something other than whimsical faces and the slapstick farce of palm leaves and driftwood and poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. All right, Gray, why don't you start us off? What'd you think?
I thought it was a fantastic poem. Excellent read, Pam. But, you know, you can picture all this as he reads it. The sol shines brightly, a flaxen carriage driven across an azure sky. There's a primitive beauty in coral sands caressed by the fingertips of crystal waves foamed. Yeah, just incredible imagery, and I really like the style of the poem. The dusky-haired woman hopes for love, and fishes, they hope for long hypnotic fingers to live the weaver's buoyant dreams. It's just a fantastic poem.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gray. And Jean, how about you?
Well, Pam, I thought this was a great piece. I thought it was a nice tale told. I'm looking at this. And you see a girl's brown body dancing through the turquoise, and her footprints make you follow where the sky loves to see. Tiny purple fishes. That's what I missed. I missed that in the original prompts, and I'm like, what's with the fishes? And I'm sitting there going, what's with the fishes? I'm looking at the picture, and I'm going, okay, the picture has fishes. Where did these fish come from? I swear to God, you know, that's where my mind was. I'm like all worried about where the fish came from. But I think, finally reading that prompt, yes. I think you really nailed it. I think you took a great direction with it, and I think you really took it and made it your own kind of, obviously you made your own poem. But I think you went a direction all your own, and I think it totally works as an offshoot or a branching from the original. And I think, yeah, you did a great job with it. Well done, Pam. Well done. I love the fishies. Don't get me wrong.
Thank you.
I'll leave it to you
Thank
to pick
you.
The stance that I was going with, because my thought was, oh, you really like that thought with the purple fishies, considering you turned it inside out and walked it another way. In shallow pools swim little fishes grinning like split plums. That was a nice turn of phrase off the original thought. And then dropping in the cocoa skin for the bronzed woman, and then dropping in again, dusky-haired, again, hitting on that note to the bronze thought. But right below that split plums, that next one, meanwhile, sharks are feasting upon a merry-go-round of voyages splayed across open waters. Wow. Yeah. Talk about baiting the shores. Hey, we're chumming. Come on. It's pieces for everybody.
Well, they're splayed across the open waters because they were all torn apart by your kraken there, Rex.
It's been a rough night. It's been a rough night in the sea tonight. Oh, my God.
Well, thank you, Rex, and thank you for the inspiration.
You're welcome.
So fun.
All right, Jean, we got time for one more.
We got time for one more? Okay, I'm going to have I'm going to have Gray take us out because we all I have one for him to read. If I can find the room, wherever the hell it is. I think this is it. Okay. If not, somebody's going to get a poem. Gray, if you'd be so kind as to take us out with this.
This is by Gray A.Q., and it's called Daily Prayer. Daily Prayer. From when I wake up to when I go to bed, and several times between, I pray. I thank the Ali, the Almost High, for letting me see another day. I pray for a productive, blessed day, and to keep the devil out of my way. I pray to be enlightened by the sun and feel the sun's ray. I thank the All for my wisdom, knowledge, and intelligence. I thank the All for my bless with my 7 cents. I thank the All Most High for blessing me with kids. I pray for forgiveness for all wrong that I did. I thank the All for blessing me with my mama. I pray the All keep me away from harm and drama. I thank the All Most High for blessing me with my sis. I pray for my family daily. When I'm away, they are surely missed. I thank the All Most High for blessing me with my dad. I pray to my queen that I am best she ever had. I pray not to go to prison, not to go to jail. I pray to keep me away from sin, not to go to hell. Fill my destiny on this earth. I thank the All Most High for making me what I am today, or making me what I am worth. I pray to have a prosperous day with no sin. I thank the All Most High for everything. Amen.
Great, great, great. Thank you very much. And another very different piece. Pam, why don't you kick us out? Or kick us off.
Well, yeah, it definitely is different. I like it. It's got a wonderful sense of spirituality, a wonderful a sense of full for the blessings given. I especially like, I thank the All for being blessed with my 7 cents. I thank the All Most High for blessing me with kids. You know, just a wonderful heartfelt rite and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, I thought it was a well done piece. Again, I was busy looking for the prompt, which I didn't see, but it was a nicely done piece as a prayer. And, you know, nice work to a grade AQ. So I'm not familiar with the name, so.
That's another new one.
Yeah, yeah. So it's good to have some new names.
Okay.
You know, hope to join in again.
Thank you, Jean. And, Gray, how about you? You got to read it.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was a nice share of his personal connection to his spiritual existence. And, you know, praying for your family is a good thing, and praying for your life is a good thing. So I thought it was just a beautiful poem.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think Grade A took the literality of the piece itself, hitting on the note of God, Son, and a couple of other little items to roll out the thought of his daily prayer and what keeps him focused on a righteous path, so to speak, owning up the blessings that he gives for being who and what he is, and the fact that he is up and about each and every day to do and live, really live. So nicely done, Grady. Thank you very much. And we're at the back end of things, so thank you, Jean, Pam, Gray, great show. Some laughs and some great pieces that were all over the map, which was a nice touch to this a song, just looking at the lyrics itself. So thank you, everybody. And we'll do this again next week. So don't be a stranger. Come see us again.
What's your next week's show, Rex? Do you know already?
Actually, I'm looking at two things right now, and I'm thinking of the one first, and I'll have it up tomorrow.
Awesome.
I was thinking of doing another song like this, but I think I'm going to save that for the following week and do something music inspired for the next show.
Nice. Okay. Well, I look forward to seeing it. Thanks, everybody. Great show. Great prompt, Rex. Great job, everybody. Great poetry. I know it's great. I don't know if for writing poetry, I think I know more words than one, but best I can do. Great. Hey. It was good hearing you tonight. Pam, it was fun. Rex, awesome job. I'm out of here. We're done.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.